But we thought, first of all, let's get an update on the situation, because every day we continue to race, it is an inspiration to everyone in the racing world and all those who follow racing and the sport, not just here in Melbourne and Australia, but right around the world. So Giles Thompson, the boss of Racing Victoria, joins me this morning. Good morning, Giles. How are you going?
Morning, Michael. I'm very well, thanks.
After a great weekend of racing, we all should be very well, because we are continuing to race. And Giles, looking at the projections, and we don't want to get overly excited, but it does seem, and it is very early, that this curve that they talk about is starting to flatten. So is there confidence within Racing Victoria's headquarters that while we are continuing to do what we are doing so well, following all the protocols, that we are maybe able to continue racing for the foreseeable future?
Well, confidence, optimism, let's go with that one.
Okay.
So, you know, we've had 253 races, I discovered last night, since the 13th of March, which is the day that the Alistair Clark went crowd-free. So that was sort of a big key date for us. So we've run 253 races. Hoping to continue to run right the way through, and certainly I'm more optimistic than I was previously. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is, of course, what's happening to the graphs, as you point out. So, you know, the measures seem to be working more broadly in the community, but also because getting more confident about our own protocols and our own biosecurity measures and how they are being implemented by the participants out there. You know, they're difficult, and the problem that we have a little bit with those protocols is that people's instincts, people have been doing for 20, 30, whatever years it is, we're now asking them to do different things, like stay away from each other. And we need to keep reminding people to do that. And we've got an extra person on course this week to help with that. So we've got two people on course whose role is to sort of help educate and remind people about what these protocols are. But the better we get at that, the more confident I get, or the more optimistic I get, that with the broader changes in the pandemic as well, that we can do this.
So the message is, don't get complacent. Continue to do what you're doing extremely well. And I know that there are little tweaks that are continually being made along the way. And there was a note which went out to trainers and participants on the weekend emphasising further minor restrictions which need to be adhered to.
Yeah, so they're about, again, reducing the number of people on course, which enables us to distance people. So it was a direct communication to the trainers about only one licensed or registered person is permitted to lead a horse into the mounting yard. Only one trainer per training partnership is only one of those is allowed on course for each race meeting. There'll be no exhibition gallops, small things like that, which are continually tweaking it. And I think that's the bit is we can't take this for granted. The reason why we're still racing today is because of, to a degree, because of these protocols and because people are abiding by these protocols. I can't emphasize how important that is for those people in government and in the health authorities to understand what those are and to see them being implemented. And that's not just on the track, that's also back in the stable yards, back in the training facilities. It's absolutely vital. And we put on the Racing Victoria website yesterday some information sheets which summarize the protocols for each different part of the participant group. So we're aware that we've bombarded people a lot in the last few weeks. Now, if you go to the Racing Victoria website and look under, for example, strappers, you'll see a simple one-pager which highlights the key things that you must do. So if you felt overwhelmed by the information, go to the Racing Victoria website, and hopefully there's a bit more digestible versions there now.
Well, I think that's absolutely vital that everyone it goes onto that website, racingvictoria.com.au, because as you said, Giles, it'll be in black and white, very simple for everyone to follow, from the handlers, the strappers, the trainers, and everyone that's involved in racing, because it's basically in our own hands at this point in time that if we follow these protocols, if there is no outbreak or increased, I suppose, any positives that are found in the racing industry, we should be able to continue racing on. Just a couple of questions surrounding that. What are we looking like for the spring, or is that too far away, Giles? Are we only considering a week-to-week basis at this point in time?
We are shifting from a week-to-week basis to start thinking longer term. So the VRC have been looking at many different scenarios and options for their carnival, and you know, we're beginning to turn our mind to the broader carnival as well, of what that looks like, and the Metro clubs in particular have their own views about that. I think one of the challenges we face is just there's so many unknowns. As we sit here on the 7th of April, we just don't know what the world looks like in 3 weeks' time. We didn't know what it looked like 3 weeks ago, what it would look like now, and we don't know what it looks like sort of in mid-May. What we do know is we're beginning to run out of time, and we'll have to make calls as we enter June. So that's only, what, sort of 5 or 6 weeks away. We'll have to start making some decisions, and hopefully then there'll be fewer unknowns to make those decisions a little bit easier. But they'll be difficult because we'll be trying to look into the future. But right now, we don't think we have to make any core decisions around the sprint, and we're hoping that we'll continue to race. And if we're continuing to race in 4 weeks' time, then we could be more optimistic about the spring program.
Well, we've all got our fingers crossed. Is there one area that we probably can get a bit of an answer on now, and that is that it's unlikely any international participation will be in this year's Spring Carnival? I see there's talk that, you know, we may have our borders shut for up to 12 months from internationals. Has there been any direct, I suppose, correspondence in regard to that with Racing Victoria?
Well, it's unlikely. I wouldn't rule it out at this point, Michael. You just don't know where we are in 4, 5, 6 weeks' time. But certainly all the noise is about, you know, travel restrictions, international travel, those types of issues are going to be a problem. At the moment, though, horses can still move. Now, there are measures around that, and people like IRT look closely at that. So, you know, it's still possible, but they wouldn't come necessarily with an international accompanying group of people. That would be the challenge, is that while the horse could still come, then can all the entourage come? And for some people, that would put them off. So I don't rule it out, but there are going to be challenges around that.
Any further thought reprise money at this stage, or is that something that will be further down the track?
Well, again, we've only just had one day now of the lower prize money in Metro and Country. Again, it's part of the consideration for spring. We don't need to make those decisions now. And I'd rather wait to make decisions until we have to, because we'll have better information further down the track. So simple answer to that is no, we don't have any major thoughts about that at this point.
And just on the virus itself, I saw there were some fears, and I think Michael Lynch wrote an article in The Age yesterday after there were a number of tigers that were COVID-19 positive. But from all the research that has been done around the world, there is no indication that it can be transferred to a thoroughbred.
That's right. So, of course, with the Netflix Tiger King series kicking around, this really did get some traction around the world. I think it's a tiger in the Bronx Zoo has tested positive for it. All our veterinary advice and expert advice is that there's absolutely no evidence of any transfer to or from horses for COVID-19, and therefore we don't see it as of any concern at this point. The fact that a tiger's tested positive in Bronx Zoo is interesting, but nothing of great concern for us at the moment.
The protocols that we have in place have probably been world-leading. Are there any more to come, Giles? We seem to be racing well under the current restrictions. Are you working on maybe tightening them even more?
Yes, every day we look at it. And so we've got, as I say, I mentioned, we've got an extra person going out to the track this week to continue to educate the people on track, but also to take a bit of a look about what we've got there. So it would be about tweaking, refining. Are there places where we're at risk of being under 1.5 metres? How do we resolve those? It's more about implementation than any dramatic change. You know, the regionalisation comes up as a discussion regularly, and you know, it would create a fundamental change to our programme in Victoria. And that's not something that we necessarily want to do at this point. And illustrated by what happened up in New South Wales with those standalone country meetings being relocated to the city. Now, that's had to happen because of the regionalisation, and there's benefits of doing that from the weighting perspective and all those types of things. But it shows the complexity of doing it, and it shows how you disadvantage big parts of your racing community by doing that. And so therefore, if we can work with protocols that mean that we don't have to dumb down our racing program, that would be a better outcome for us. But we're continually looking to improve, and if people have got suggestions, we're all ears as well.
Has it been frustrating, Giles, to see some social media commentary from people who clearly have none or very little idea about the racing industry and external pressures that have been raised?
What particularly are you talking about, Michael?
Oh, there were a few tweets from people over the weekend about temperature testing, getting that confused in regards to COVID-19 tests and the like.
Yeah, it's something we sort of live with pre-virus as well, really, Michael. It's people who have got an agenda. They've got an agenda against racing. They're not interested in the facts. They're not interested in understanding actually what's going on. And that's a great example where, you know, there's outrage about how our jockeys are being tested twice a day. And they've misunderstood that, thinking that we're testing them for the virus twice a day as opposed to temperature checking them twice a day. So, you know, it's the world we live in, not afraid, Michael, and you can't get too worried about a bit of social media, people getting carried away. But it would be nice, wouldn't it, in an ideal world, that those people with an agenda actually listened and kept their eyes open to understand really what's happening as opposed to just making it up.
That's wishing for too much in the current climate, I think, John. One SMS just before I let you go. Someone, can you ask why big stables are allowed to travel horses for jump outs, but small trainers can't? We've got plenty of fit horses that are ready to run, but can't start without a barrier certificate. It's very unfair. I'm unaware of that situation, Giles. Is that the case?
I'm unaware of that situation as well, Michael. So I'll take that away and see what the issue is there. But yeah, I can't give you a good answer on that. Without knowing.
All right.
Play, Michael.
All right, we'll take that on notice. Giles, appreciate your time for an update today, but I think the major message is don't get complacent. Jump on the Racing Victoria website where it clearly states all the protocols each individual participant needs to take on a daily basis.
That's right, Michael, and I hope we will enjoy racing for many weeks.